pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Coordinates for the targets. Upload them into the missiles. Begin the launch countdown.
How much time do you need to cancel the launch sequence?
I won't know for certain until I see how the targeting software is configured.
We're gonna keep Yerko and his men out of here so you can finish this.
Jack shoots Bierko, then breaks his neck.
10 seconds till launch.
That's done. The launch sequence is canceled.
You were never really gonna let me go, were you?
No. You are responsible for the deaths of David Palmer, Tony Almeida, and Michelle Desler. I'm going after Logan.
What do you mean, going after Logan?
I'll fill you in on the details later. Right now, I need you to walk me through modifying some field communications equipment.
Who is this guy?
Morris O'Brien, Chloe's ex-husband.
I need some comm unit modifications. Can you do that without talking?
I could. It would be a terrible waste of my charm.
Jack Bauer's on his way here now. He's going to confront your husband directly.
But Charles is leaving for the airfield immediately.
You have to find a way to stall him.
There's a helicopter waiting for me.
That way.
I can't.
Yes, you can. You're the president.
Well, Aaron said the recording you
had implicating the president was destroyed.
Yes.
Dodd, you can't mount a case.
I'm working with someone inside CTU. They're setting up a digital uplink.
If I can get Logan to acknowledge everything that he's done today, it's going to be all the evidence we need.
I need to get on that chopper. I don't see how that's going to be possible.
If Logan doesn't confess,
how far are you actually willing to go?
As far as I have to.
The following takes place between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Logan is getting dressed. He kisses Martha on the shoulder as she pulls on her dress.
Yeah, let me get this for you. Don't you hear?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Martha winces to herself in disgust.
I got a flight suit.
Go ahead.
Did you make it to the Secret Service outbuilding?
Yeah.
I think Morris and I may have a way to pull the co-pilot from the flight.
What about the reassignment protocol?
I'm working on it. Mike Novick will have to verify the pilot codes. Should take him about 1 minute.
Chloe, hold on a second. I'm switching over to comm.
Okay.
Jack screws the tiny device into his ear.
Do you copy?
Yeah.
I'll get back to you as soon as I'm on the chopper. Mike Novick's gonna call.
Jack tosses the mobile phone to Aaron Pierce and heads out. Chloe turns from her screen.
Morris.
Yes, sweetheart.
I need you to do one more thing.
A man runs across to the presidential helicopter.
Some guy from Central just called. Says your packet's messed up.
Got that straightened out Monday.
I guess not. He wants to talk to you.
Now?
Right now. He had me patch it through to the Secret Service outbuilding.
Mike Novick is printing off official-looking documents marked Flight Protocol. Another sheet comes through bearing Jack's photo and the words Marine One. He takes them across and places the first of them on the flatbed of a computer scanner. Martha Logan enters hurriedly. Mike turns sharply.
Mike, I've delayed him as long as I can. He'll be there in a few minutes. Have you heard anything from Jack Bauer yet?
He should be in the Secret Service outbuilding. I'm sending him the necessary documents now.
There's not much time.
Martha leaves. Mike continues working as fast as he can, putting documents into the scanner. The last page processing, he pulls out his phone and dials.
Yeah, Mike.
Reassignment protocol and authorization should be coming through to you.
You'll need both.
How are we doing for time?
Hurry.
The documents begin to roll out of Aaron Pierce's printer terminal. The pilot of the helicopter walks towards the Secret Service building, pulling off his helmet as he walks up the path. He keys in the entry code. He moves inside, crosses to a desk, and picks up the phone.
Hello? Hello?
John.
Aaron. I thought you transferred out.
Not quite yet.
Some guy from Central called, said my packet's all messed.
Jack attacks the pilot from behind, getting him in a tight stranglehold and wrestling him to the floor.
You'll need this.
Don't worry about him.
Jack takes the documentation from Pierce and gets ready to leave, taking a flight helmet from a shelf and putting it on his head. Aaron bends over the body of the pilot, checking his pulse. He then moves over to the window and adjusts the blind. Outside, Jack walks stolidly along a white-fenced path towards where the helicopter awaits. He looks around, pulls his visor down, and heads off at a trot. Opening the cockpit door, he climbs aboard and turns to the pilot.
Carruth has been relieved. Guess there was something wrong with his packet. Ron Franklin, there's my protocol.
The pilot casts a look at Jack's credentials. 606. A large black limousine pulls up by the white fence. Logan gets out of the car.
This is not bad, but needs to be more positive, like...
Jack Bauer's in the helicopter. You have to find an excuse not to get on board.
Martha smiles wanly at Mike, then gathers herself and moves over towards Logan.
Charles, excuse me. Could I talk to you for a second?
Absolutely. Will you excuse us for a second?
I know it sounds silly, but I didn't bring my medication, and I just want to have it with me.
Of course. Of course, we'll send somebody back for it.
No, I don't want to delay you. I'll be along later. Besides, Charles, I'm thinking that when you would land, it would be better if I wasn't with you.
Why?
This is your moment, Charles. I think that when you step out of that helicopter alone after saving the country, that is an image that history will never forget.
Logan looks at her curiously. His eyes register a mixture of confusion and conceit.
All right. Thank you, Marty. But don't be far behind me now.
Logan turns and, flanked by two burly security men, heads for the chopper. He and the guards climb aboard. Jack looks around. Logan straps himself into a seat in the rear and then signals for the helicopter to take off. Jack helps maneuver the great grey aircraft off the ground. Mike Novick and Martha stand shoulder to shoulder and exchange a significant look. Jack adjusts the controls. Logan in the back works on the script of his speech. Jack turns to the pilot, gun drawn.
Captain. I can fly this thing if I have to, which leaves you with one of two choices. You either do what I say and you live, or you don't and you die for nothing. You understand me? I want you to wait till I give you my command and follow these instructions slowly. You're going to disconnect your helmet from the communication system. Then I want you to rip out the mic cable, take your helmet off, and stow it. Do it now.
The pilot warily and grudgingly complies.
I'll know if you deviate from your flight plan.
Mr. President, I have a message for you from the White House. What the hell are you doing? Put these on!
Jack disables the guards and removes his helmet.
You.
Is Jack, do you copy?
I'm here, Jack. Where are you?
We just left the ranch. I have Logan with me. Is Morris standing by with the equipment?
He's on his way. I'll let him know you're airborne. Make sure the pilot takes heading 286 for 2 miles, then breaks south.
Captain! I want you to follow heading 286 for 2 miles! Then break south!
Once you break south, there should be an industrial park. There's an abandoned printing press facility that you can use. I'll get back to you.
Copy that.
What are you trying to do, Jack? Whatever it is, you know you won't get away with it. Are you going to kill me?
Jack sits in the opposite seat, simply staring at Logan.
I suppose you want some sort of revenge. I understand that. Bad things happened. I didn't want them to happen. People who worked for me, they went too far. They did things that they thought I wanted them to do, but they were wrong. You have to understand, I have always acted in the country's best interest. But you're just trying to get even. Do you realize what effect this will have on the American people? This day has been trying enough. And now the president is being attacked. If you want to do what's right, you will turn this thing around and go back. David Bauer, say something!
End of part one.
Hello.
Morris.
Yes, love?
The helicopter is landing at an industrial park 1 mile due east of where you are. Head over there.
Okay. Now, I give this guy what we worked on, and then I'm out. Right?
Yes, but make sure you have him call me when you do the handoff.
All right.
Thanks.
The helicopter slowly descends and then bounces down onto a concrete lot among low industrial buildings.
Shut it down!
The pilot complies. Jack gets up from his seat and disables him with the same electric stun gun he used on the Secret Service men. He points his gun at Logan.
Your safety belt. Towards the door, slowly.
Jack hustles Logan towards the door and then out onto the tarmac.
Get out now.
Move!
6:11. Jack grabs Logan's arm and, looking warily around him, hurries the president towards a short flight of metal steps up into a low building clad in white tiles. He aims his gun at the lock of the door. He shoves Logan through the now open doorway. The interior has the eerie quality of a redundant workplace. Jack hurries Logan along between banks of machinery and functional metal shelving.
Jack, maybe we can work something out. There's still time. What do you want? I could help you get away from here with enough money to start a new life. Maybe find that daughter of yours and I try to work something out. Whatever you want, it's yours. You have my word.
Your word?
Jack, I'm the President of the United States. I'm not carrying any weapons.
Jack continues to frisk Logan like a common criminal, tossing the contents of his pockets onto a desk. Jack undoes one of Logan's handcuffs. Logan looks at him intently. Jack, however, simply reattaches the cuff to a fixed steel pole. Jack turns sharply at a sound from within the factory. Taking his gun, Jack moves cautiously away. A figure appears. It is Chloe's ex, Morris. Jack gets him in his sights.
Hey.
Jack beckons Morris over.
Give me the case. Jack Bauer? I should have known that. Modified equipment. Yeah.
Morris hands over a small package.
Ah, that's President Logan, Jack. Get out of here. Chloe wants you to call. Go.
Morris, rattled, walks away with several backward glances. Jack dials.
Yeah, Jack.
I have it.
All right. I've just checked the response deployments, and you have less than 10 minutes until they're on you.
Fine.
Listen, Jack. I don't mean to put any added pressure on you, but if you don't have a confession by then, we'll all be arrested for treason.
Yeah, I know.
6:18. A golden California dawn breaks. A cloud-dappled pink sky overhangs the functional white building. Logan stares as Jack adjusts the equipment delivered to him by Morris.
Is this some kind of broadcast?
What is this? I would like to know, is this an assassination?
A confession.
Don't count on it. I know you're good at extracting information. I know that you're good at torture. I saw what you did with Walt Cummings. I think you'll be surprised to find out that I'm a little tougher than that.
Take a seat. Chloe, it's Jack. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jack.
I want to make sure that you have good reception.
Who are you talking to? Are those your friends at CTU? You know you're putting them in danger as well.
Coming through fine, Jack.
Okay, good.
My people can't be far behind, Jack. There's still time to get away. Take it.
The plan involving the Syntox nerve gas was designed to fool the terrorists and the Russians. Whether or not you formulated the plan is irrelevant. You authorized it.
You're delusional.
David Palmer uncovered evidence of this plan. When he started asking questions, he was assassinated. Other people were killed to cover that murder up. Men and women who served this country with distinction. People that I worked with, friends of mine.
No, you're wrong. This is all a pack of lies.
The terrorists discovered your deception, and they deployed Syntox nerve gas on American soil. Every American who died today as a result of terrorist activity is another murder that you're accountable for. Before you leave here, you're going to admit it.
Suppose if you hurt me enough, Jack, I'll say whatever you want. But that won't make it the truth.
And everybody who watches this will know that perfectly well.
What are the names of your co-conspirators?
There are no co-conspirators because there is no...
Walt Cummings! Christopher Henderson! James Nathanson have all admitted to being part of this conspiracy. Now they are dead. Right before Christopher Henderson died, he acknowledged that there were others. What are their names?
A man will say anything under torture. This won't mean a thing.
Mr. Logan, I'm not going to torture you. But you are going to tell me what I want to know. Or so help me God, I will kill you.
A look of stark fear enters Logan's eyes as Jack fixes him with the kind of stare you can't argue with. 6:21. Jack takes a chair and, moving across to Logan, places it directly in front of him. Jack sits and looks hard at Logan.
A year and a half ago, I was warned that my life was in danger by someone within the government. I was told the only way I could stay alive was to create the illusion that I was dead. I was forced to deceive people that I loved. My only daughter will never forgive me. As I see the depth of your corruption unfold, I have no doubt that you are that source of danger. David Palmer was a great man, and he was a great president. He was also my friend. He tried to warn me about you, and now he is dead. Other people tried to help me, and they are dead too. So, Mr. Logan, I hope you understand. I have absolutely nothing to lose. You are going to be held accountable for your part of everything that happened today. You are not going to be able to hide behind the presidency. Right here, right now, you are going to face justice. And make no mistake about this, this is personal. And if you think for a second that I am scared to put a bullet in your brain, you don't know me. I'm going to ask you one last time. Who are your co-conspirators? You have until the count of three, or I will kill you.
One. You'll make me a martyr. I'll go down in history with Lincoln and Kennedy, but you'll go down with John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald. Is that what you want?
Two!
You're a man of honor. How can you assassinate a president of the United States in front of the entire world? If you love your country, you won't pull the trigger.
Three!
Logan closes his eyes and winces as Jack holds the pistol to his head. Chloe watches in anguish on her monitor. The muscles of Jack's face twitch as he holds the unfired gun. His hand trembles slightly. Logan spots his chance. A look of reptilian cunning comes into his eyes.
You can't do it, can you?
No, Jack, it's all right. Jack!
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's right that you can't. I'm the president. Jack. Jack, they're here.
A massive SWAT team in full body armor take up positions all round, aiming high-velocity rifles at Jack. Jack lowers his weapon and looks around. Exchanging one last look with Logan, he then crosses to a desk and lays down his pistol. He kneels, raises his hands, and clasps them behind his head.
Fine. I actually feel sorry for that man. He's delusional. It would be better if he were put in some sort of solitary confinement for the time being.
Jack is led away. 6:24. End of part two. Part three, 6:29. A helicopter swoops in to land. Martha Logan, dressed in mourning black, stands by a hearse watching the aircraft descending onto the military airbase. Behind her, Mike Novick takes a call.
Yeah.
As the large helicopter touches down, Mike walks solemnly up behind Martha and stands discreetly at her left shoulder.
Jack Bauer wasn't able to get the president to confess, Mrs. Logan. I'm sorry.
Why not? What happened?
I'm not sure of the details. Bauer's in custody.
Martha struggles to take in this news. Ground crew open the side door of the helicopter. Two agents in sunglasses get swiftly out, making way for Logan, who steps triumphantly from the aircraft and salutes the crowd, every inch the conquering hero.
Gentlemen.
Martha cannot suppress a sneer of loathing as Logan strides bullishly towards the knot of press photographers.
Thank you.
Martha steels herself and dutifully walks across to join her husband. He kisses her and peers beneath the brim of her hat, seeking eye contact. 6:30.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now, thank you so much.
A knot of high-ranking military slide the flag-draped coffin from the rear of the hearse and bear it slowly towards the awaiting catafalque erected in front of the seated congregation. Logan and Martha stop to observe. Martha is beginning to show signs of great distress. Mike Novick watches the proceedings live but monitors their coverage on Fox News via his mobile phone.
Oh, God, David!
Martha.
Oh.
Marty, no, don't do this to me now.
You killed him!
Marty!
You're a murderer!
Stop.
You are! You're a criminal!
My wife is not well. Would you please escort her?
Don't you touch me! Don't you touch me! You don't know what he is! He's not fit to be president! It is a sacrilege for him to be even speaking David's name! Don't you know? Let go of me! You don't know!
I want to make sure that she's all right.
Mike watches Logan head towards where Martha has been taken.
Is this hangar bay cleared?
Yes, sir. All secure. It's empty.
Good. Let them know that I'll be back in a moment.
Yes, Mr. President.
6:32. Logan slips into the hangar unattended. Martha is alone, collecting herself. Logan approaches brusquely.
You're not wearing some kind of listening device, are you?
What are you talking about?
I have to watch you now, Martha. You said that I was a good liar. But I am nothing compared to you.
Charles! Stop it! Stop it! Stop!
He grabs her purse and, keeping hold of her, tips out the contents.
Okay now, Marty. Tell me the truth.
You're hurting me.
You don't know what pain is. I'm on to you, Marty. I should have seen it from the first, but I wanted to believe that you still cared for me. Making love to me, it was just a ploy, wasn't it? Took a lot of planning to get Jack Bauer onto that helicopter. You were part of the plan, weren't you? It was your job to delay me, wasn't it?
What? Wasn't it? They used you so Jack Bauer could get to me. Come on, Marty. Come on, Marty. Admit it. You were part of it. Why? Why? Why did you help them?
Because you killed David Palmer.
I told you, I didn't realize that was going to happen.
Your people killed him to protect you. You covered it up. That's just as bad.
I covered it up because I had to.
Oh, and then others died to cover that up.
That's right, for the good of the country.
You sold nerve gas to terrorists. You're insane. You're insane!
I did it for the good of the country as I saw it at the time.
Such a hypocrite.
After your little performance this morning, you're in no position to call me a hypocrite. And I will tell you something else. If you blow up like this one more time, I will fill you so full of drugs, you won't even remember your own name. And then I will ship you off to an asylum, and you can stay there for the rest of your life. Are we clear? Now clean yourself up, you're a mess.
Six 39. Logan and Martha, seemingly composed, walk together towards Palmer's coffin. Detaching his arm from Martha's, Logan salutes crisply. He then takes her arm once again and leads her solicitously towards the podium, past ranks of soldiers who stand to attention. Logan helps Martha onto the podium and then climbs up himself, followed by Mike Novick. Logan walks to the lectern and signals to the congregation to be seated.
My fellow Americans, this has been a terrible day in the history of this country. And yet, at the same time, a triumphant day. Because in the end, we won a significant victory over the forces of chaos and terror. We have preserved and protected our way of life despite the loss of innocent American lives. Today, we honor one of those...
I'll start the transmission in 1 minute. Is the Attorney General there?
I'm here, Ms. O'Brien. I certainly hope this recording is as important as you claim it is.
Chloe appears strained to the very limit. Bill and Karen Hayes enter.
Chloe, what's this about?
I set up a conference call with the Attorney General. He's on speakerphone now.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Mr. Attorney General, this is Karen Hayes, Homeland Security.
Bill Buchanan, CTU.
Sir, I apologize. Miss O'Brien placed this call without authorization from me.
I'm sorry I had to do that. We had to do things under the radar to protect you all in case things went wrong.
In case what things went wrong?
I think it would help if I just played the recording.
What recording?
It's a conversation that took place 5 minutes ago between the president and his wife.
How could you possibly have a recording of something like that?
Sir, an agent named Jack Bauer placed a listening device on the president shortly before this conversation.
Bauer? Isn't he the one that's under arrest?
I'm going to play the recording now.
I don't want to listen to it, Miss O'Brien. At the very least, this constitutes an egregious violation of privacy, and we're talking about the president.
Because you killed David Palmer!
I told you, I didn't realize that was going to happen.
People killed him to protect you. You covered it up. That's just as bad.
I covered it up because I had to.
Oh, and then others died to cover that up.
That's right, for the good of the country.
You sold nerve gas to terrorists. You're insane. You're insane!
A poet once said, no man is an island. On a day like this, we can feel the truth of those words. Any untimely death is a tragedy. Yet some men embody such greatness of character that their death serves as a unifying force for those who remain behind. David Palmer was such a man. A great president, a great American, and on a more personal note, a wonderful friend. He'll be missed. More than words could explain.
Holtzman.
Yes, sir.
We take this moment to remember with appreciation.
With all due respect, Mr. Attorney General, are you sure this isn't some kind of mistake? Yes, sir. I understand, sir.
Not too much to say.
I'll do exactly as you say.
A combination of wisdom, strength, and moral courage, this country might have not survived in its present form.
Logan seems to have become aware of unusual activity among the Secret Service men following the call from the Attorney General.
It's very appropriate that David Palmer will be laid to rest in Arlington Cemetery, for he was a soldier in the truest sense. He was a man whose courage rose in direct proportion to the threats his country faced.
6:43. Three Secret Service men step up onto the podium and stop, feet from Logan, who casts them a baleful look. The guards eye each other nervously.
Closing, I would ask that the country observe a national day of mourning for one of the greatest Americans this nation will ever see. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Logan turns angrily to his aides.
Federal Marshal, would you please come with us, sir?
You came very close to disrupting my speech.
The Marshal whispers in Logan's ear.
Thank you all very much for joining us. And I am sorry, but out of respect for today's
ceremony... Those are ridiculous accusations.
Excuse me. If I may, sir. Probably never seen one of these, Mr. President. It's a microtransmitter.
The agent takes the president's pen, from which he has removed the tiny electronic device. Logan, appearing finally defeated, turns crestfallen to Martha. She smiles triumphantly at him. His eyes widen in disbelief and then narrow in hatred. He drops his gaze and turns back towards the Secret Service men.
Mr. Clark, arrest these men and get them the hell out of here.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. We have our orders.
You take your orders from me.
Not anymore.
Yes, sir.
Logan swallows this blunt message with difficulty. Attempting to stand on what remains of his dignity, he goes quietly. Martha remains on the podium next to Mike Novick. They watch as Logan is escorted away. Martha breaks down and clutches Mike's shoulder. The guard of honor salute the passing coffin. The crack of rifle fire seems to register with Logan as he continues the long walk towards the awaiting car. The military bearers walk up a ramp and deposit the coffin in the hold of the small jet plane. The Secret Service agent holds open the car door for Logan. What's your answer? 6:46. The huge black stretch limo bears Logan away. The bearers turn ceremoniously and walk back down the ramp of the plane. Logan sits dead-eyed in the rear of the limo. Jack sits having the wound above his eyebrow tended to. Audrey is getting out from a large black SUV parked across the lot from where Jack sits. Their eyes meet and they walk towards each other, Jack having to weave among the throngs of flak-jacketed SWAT team members milling around.
Hey.
Hey. Thank God you're safe.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Jack, when I heard you kidnapped the president,
I was just trying to get him to give me a direct confession.
Jack. How much longer do you need to stay here?
Not much longer. They can debrief me tomorrow.
You sure?
Jack steps forward and kisses Audrey passionately on the mouth. She strokes his chest repeatedly.
I can't believe you're really here.
Agent Bauer?
Excuse me, but there's a call for you from your daughter.
From my daughter?
Yes, sir. A Kim Bauer. It's been put through to a landline, just inside that door.
Thank you. I'll be right back, I promise.
Take as long as you need. I'm not going anywhere.
I love you. I'll be right back.
Jack jogs away and up the stairs into the disused factory. Passing inside, he spots the phone on the wall and goes to pick it up.
Hey, Kim?
Jack is suddenly grabbed from behind by a man in a black balaclava. A pad is held to his nose. He struggles to fight off other attackers. He sees Audrey standing outside, then passes out. The men bundle him away. ...6:49, end of part 3. Part 4, 6:53. At CTU, Karen Hayes joins a pensive Bill Buchanan.
Any word on Logan?
No. My guess is he'll try to cut a deal. He'll resign without a fight in exchange for clemency.
He doesn't deserve clemency.
No, but the country doesn't deserve a long impeachment process either with everything that's happened.
In any event, we can expect Hal Gordon to be sworn in as president soon. Which means this will probably be the last time I see this place.
I don't think so. Not if I have anything to do with it, and I will. You'll be back here running CTU.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
When I came in here last night to save the day, I was a little bit condescending and tactless, to say the least. I had no idea what you were up against. I'm sorry.
No, I need to apologize. Mistakes were made. You were right to come in with a firm hand.
Well, I better go.
Karen. I was thinking of getting some breakfast before going home.
I have to go over to division for one last briefing. Bureaucracy. Rain check?
Sure.
Bill's face cracks into an unwontedly relaxed smile. Karen leaves, but this is clearly only au revoir. Bill sees Chloe across the office, seemingly preparing to go home herself. 6:55. He pulls a piece of paper from his pocket and moves across to her.
Chloe. Really good work today.
You too.
I found this in Edgar's possessions. I thought you should have it.
Thanks.
Chloe unfolds the paper, revealing it to be a large photo of herself standing shoulder to shoulder and smiling broadly with Edgar. Her face tenses and her nostrils flare as tears prick her eyes. She seems on the point of breaking down completely when Morris appears over her shoulder.
Hey. What's all this then?
A friend of mine died today.
Talk about it.
Morris puts an arm around Chloe's shoulder and gently escorts her from CTU. Audrey enters the factory.
Jack?
She clocks the dangling phone receiver.
Attention all units, we have a missing agent Jack Bauer. I repeat, we have a missing agent Jack Bauer. You two men search lower levels. Give me 3 men on a perimeter search. We're back.
Audrey, beside herself with worry, stands in the lot, looking all around her. From a pitch-dark corridor, Jack is dragged out by 2 men who hold him under his armpits. His face is bloodied. They drag him across the floor of an ill-lit cellar and dump him onto the sodden floor. The pair pull off their balaclavas. Both are Chinese. From the shadows and from beneath 2 sinister loops of heavy chain hanging from the roof walks a man in a suit, also Chinese. He looks down inscrutably at Jack. The other men take Jack by the hair and yank his head up.
You surely must be aware, Mr. Bauer, that China has a long memory. Only 18 months ago, you invaded our territory and killed our consul.
The man moves in closer and bends over Jack, who looks up at him through swollen eyes.
Did you really think that we would forget?
I know how this works. I need to make one phone call.
The man just continues looking at Jack. Eventually, Jack spits out some blood. The headman gestures angrily and the others let Jack fall to the floor.
Kill me. Just kill me.
Kill you? You're far too valuable to kill, Mr. Bauer.
The headman walks imperiously away, leaving Jack twitching in pain on the floor. He is surrounded by half a dozen heavies who appear to be flexing their joints in preparation for inflicting further damage to him. Jack turns painfully onto his back. His face, barely recognizable from the beating he has already received, turns up to gaze at his tormentors. A huge cargo ship slides across the open sea. On the stern are painted Chinese characters and the word Shanghai. The ship plows on towards the distant horizon. 7 a.m. The end.
Convicting a killer proves tricky for Fontana and Green in a brand new episode of Law & Order at 10 over on Sky 1. Next tonight here on Sky 2, Sky Vegas.